Started with Los Angeles this morning, Wisconsin, North Carolina, Oregon, and Canada too. One person called up and said they want $500 worth of food donated to the first responders. Another person said he was able to put a charge on his card for people to give out coffee to the people of the town. Many calls to give candy to the kids. People want to somehow do something to try to help, to leave some, take away some of the bitterness for the local people here.
I have to love that people are reaching out, as the man was describing there, to try to do whatever they can to give some kind of comfort to the people in Newtown, Connecticut. Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, the name of this show. How are you doing in your nooks and crannies? I guarantee some of the buzz in your backyard was over the shock and the horror of the tragedy in Newtown. It's really only been a handful of days. The funerals have just started. Police are still looking for a motive. The town is trying to heal. Even 10 golden retrievers were sent to try to comfort the kids and the families. Those dogs are known to do that. They're healing dogs or therapy dogs. And the answers that so many people want, I don't know that we will ever get those answers. But what is also happening is stories are coming out about the kids that were killed and are being buried. And I think that's helpful and healthy, because let's not just talk about the carnage. Let's talk about who they were and the fact that they meant so much to whoever it was in their family and friends that knew them, that kind of thing. And the profiles of the people taken way too soon at such young ages, I think, are so important, as people still are in not just Connecticut but other spots are trying to figure this out and see if we could piece something out of this, the positive. And I don't believe there's something positive of the deaths of the kids, but something that we can take that could positively impact other people. And also looking for warning signs. So if somebody else wants to grab some guns and go into a school, they're stopped before they hurt anybody in the school. That's what my wish is that this does not happen again in America, and we are not ever talking about somebody going into an elementary school and cutting short lots of lives, not just the kids. Remember, 26, there were 6 women who also worked at Sandy Hook Elementary who were killed, besides the 20 students, the 12 girls, and the 8 boys. And the stories that we're hearing, a lot from grandparents who were speaking, I think, for the families of 6-year-old Charlotte Bacon was an example. They talked about the fact that the grandmother talked about the fact that she loved school and loved to wear her dresses and loved to talk. At 6, who knows what would have become of her life. Also, another little girl that people are talking about is Olivia Engel, 6 years old. She liked to wear pink and purple, as a lot of girls do. And she was a friendly sort that drew a lot of pictures wherever she went. She carried around her crowns and whatnot, and would draw when she got a chance to draw, that she enjoyed making people laugh and smile. And there are so many others too, and throughout this week we'll put some of those in there, some vignettes or some little things that have been known from other family members about these kids, so they're not just kids that were slaughtered. So we know just a little bit more, like Emily Parker, 6 years old. Her father has talked to a lot of people about her, said she was creative and bright and very, very loving and always willing to learn something. He was learning to speak Portuguese, and he was trying to teach her a little bit of that. This little girl also liked to carry around markers and pencils, and she would draw a picture or make a card for somebody. And he talks about the fact that he's a physician's assistant in a newborn unit, and one of his last conversations with his daughter was in Portuguese, a language that he was trying to teach to her. And I think that's a very cool story. So we'll try to throw some of those in as well. Another thing that came out of now, as more stories are emerging, another thing that came out of Newtown, Connecticut, when all the chaos was happening, there was a former psychologist named Gene Rosen who was taking a walk and heading back to his house very close to Sandy Hook Elementary. He was at a diner. He saw six kids, small kids, sitting in a circle kind of at the end of his driveway. A school bus driver was standing over them and talking to them and saying it was going to be okay. And the little boy told him that we can't go back to school. The teacher is dead. We don't have a teacher. So he took the four girls and the two boys into the house. And over the next few hours, while people were running around frantic and trying to figure out what to do, he gave them toys and listened to their stories and then called their parents. And he said that he could hear the sound of gunfire before he had come up to the driveway and seen the kids, but he thought it was just a hunter in the woods, and it certainly wasn't that. And the teacher that these kids were saying had died was 27-year-old Victoria Soto, who was a first-grade teacher when 20-year-old Adam Lanza burst into her classroom. How those kids got out of there unharmed, it might have been because she hid some of the students from him, and they turned up in the driveway because they were able to run past her body to safety. So she was definitely heroic in what she was trying to do. And how great is that, that these six kids were able to get out of there and weren't one of those statistics? I think that's just a tremendous story. And there are other stories like that that are starting to come to light now that they're sorting out what's happened and what happened in some of the classrooms and what some of the teachers did. Because remember, you're talking about a whole elementary school, and it was this first grade where the shooter set his sights on for whatever reason. Maybe it was just the proximity of the classroom when he actually went into the school. Who knows why and how he picked Sandy Hook. He did go there as a kid, but he was 20 years old. And then the big story is trying to put together a psychological profile of what was going on with this 20-year-old who was out of his mind, who was described as a loner and never had a lot of friends in school, thus the tag loner. Was smart in the classes. People didn't really pick on him, but he was an invisible kind of kid. His parents had divorced. His mother didn't work, and the neighbors are saying that she really struggled, and relatives are saying that she really, Nancy Lanza, really struggled to raise her son. Had a lot of problems with him, and there were reports that he had autism, and people in the autism field who are working with autistic kids are very quick to say, because immediately in trying to name what happened, people are looking at autism as the reason why, and many physicians are saying, no, don't go there because he had autism. But his mother definitely struggled with what was going on with him. Hey, coming up on the flip side, many of you wanted to throw in your two cents about Connecticut and some other things, so we're going to go to the mailbag on the flip side.
Preparedness is simple when you have the right stuff. And with the looming threat of economic collapse and possible service interruption, it's time to get the best-in-class preparedness stuff at DisasterStuff.com. DisasterStuff.com has been serving smart preppers for over 15 years with quality products like Berkey water filters. DisasterStuff.com is the official Berkey in-stock shipping center. And as always, free shipping on all Berkey products. Stock up on water barrels and accessories. Get Country Living or Wonder Mill grain mills, Excalibur food dehydrators, Tatler reusable canning lids, Sun Oven solar cookers, EMP bags to protect sensitive electronics, and don't be without your Life Straw personal water filter, all from DisasterStuff.com. Preparedness is simple with the right stuff from DisasterStuff.com. freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
What's better than Mountain House freeze-dried food? Buckets of Mountain House freeze-dried food. Now the freeze-dried guy introduces convenient, easy-to-store Mountain House survival buckets filled with our top-selling items. Each item is sealed in a Mylar-type pouch, and each pouch is neatly packed in clear buckets so you can easily see the contents inside. These Mountain House survival buckets come with well over a 25-year shelf life and are perfect for emergency preparedness, camping, backpacking, or at-home use. Go to freezedryguy.com. Click on freeze-dried foods and choose our 12-month, 6-month, 3-month, 1-month, or 7-day Mountain House Survival Bucket with 32 generous servings starting at just $69.95. And all orders to the lower 48 ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran-owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.
All right, coming up, we're going to check the mailbag. Plus, you can chime in, throw in your two cents on Newtown, Connecticut, what we might be able to take away from this. Hopefully, some lesson, something. 855-266-KATE. That's the number, 855-266-5283. Let's go to Dustin in Pennsylvania. Hey, Dustin, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good, yo.
I'm good, buddy. What's on your mind? What do you think? Are your friends talking about what happened in Connecticut?
Yes.
What do they say?
I'm doing pretty good, and yourself?
Whoops. We're losing you there. Sorry. Sorry, Dustin. Something, maybe it was a cell phone. A cell phone connection. You know, maybe, it sounded like he was at a house, though. So, sometimes if you're driving with that cell phone lately, I notice almost everyone seems to have an iPhone or an Android, but it's the service provider. Let's go to, Bud's listening to us in New Jersey. Hello, Bud. How are you, sir?
Pretty good, Kate. How about yourself?
Good, buddy.
Yeah, what do you... I was looking to pay attention to that shooting up there in Connecticut. It's a damn shame. I was looking at the profile on that kid. And if you compare the profiles of all the massive shootings, they're almost the same. Look at Virginia Tech, ages between 18 to 24. Look at Colorado, it's almost the same ages. Look at the background, same thing. Everything is falling in place with all these shootings, or statistic or whatever, you know, something to do with psychological. If you look at everything that's being in place. Now, the mother that had guns for a hobby, if she knew about her son, she could have kept them guns in a safe, inside a safe, so he wouldn't get at them, too.
Yeah, that's what I think. I wonder why she didn't, because was she in denial, thinking he was okay, would never do this kind of thing? What mother thinks, even if their son's having trouble, that he would possibly ever be capable of that? But still, guns would be dangerous if he wasn't right.
That's true. Yeah. She must have knew that he wasn't right.
Yeah.
It still falls back on her shoulders by not keeping the guns inside a safe where he couldn't get at them. I myself, I have weapons, but I have it in one safe on top of another safe. So if somebody goes to break in one safe, they got another one to break into.
Yeah, and good luck with that, right?
Yeah, I have a hard time getting into it.
Yeah. Good for you, bud. That's the way to do it. Keep it. You're a responsible gun owner. You know how to handle them.
I've been a cop for 25 years, and I've seen a lot of shootings. I've been involved in a lot of shootings, but not like this. But when you have a massive thing, I don't care what cop, what EMT, or a parent, it's going to get at you for a long while. You know, just like being in a war. It's going to stay with you for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You're not going to erase it.
Yeah, that's what they're saying, that it was really horrific for those first responders. That's why they were telling the kids that were coming out of the school to close their eyes, and the teachers and other people that they eventually evacuated not to look, not to keep the eyes closed so they wouldn't have the memory that you just said that the others will take with them. Bud, thanks for sharing your story with us.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, bye-bye. It's true. It's about being a responsible gun owner. That's what we should promote. Responsible gun ownership. You know how to use your weapon. If you had to use your weapon, you know exactly what you have to do. And you know how to keep your weapons. And I think the majority of people in all the conversations I've had with family members who have been longtime gun owners, and those who, frankly, aren't, that's what we keep coming back to. Stacy in Mississippi, hello.
Oh, Dawn, how are you doing, Satan?
I'm doing good. What's on your mind this time around?
Well, I've done cut my phone off, and it's a cell phone. I cut it back on because I heard you on the radio just before I come and took off, and it was something I talked to a guy on the same radio station about the same thing you brought up. There's a guy that I went to school with. I went to three different schools in the same county. I went to Bay Springs, Stringer, and Silver Bay Academy. I went to three of them, and they're all in the same county. But everybody talked about this one guy, and he was a lawyer. He's a good-looking young man. But he never had a girlfriend. He wasn't gay or nothing, but he never had a girlfriend. He never had friends, never had anything. And everybody always thought, this guy is kind of weird acting, you know. And people thought, this guy right here is like going to explode one day, but not in those words, but he did. I mean, see what he done. He went, he was about 25 or 26 years old. He went to a parts house and bought a part. It had been like a year and a half, 2 years old, and they couldn't exchange it. So, and then he exchanged it. So, he took not an automatic, fully automatic, but a semi-automatic. I think a 22, I believe. Anyway, shot all the windows out of the house, his truck, everything, and then wrote, "Helter Skelter, you will die in hell," with lipstick on the windows of the house. What people need to do, when you got children that you think that you got a problem with, you need to put them, I might have said to you before, they need to be on the same list, not just a sex offender. You need to put them on a list where people can be looking out for these people. I mean, because that guy, everybody that I went to three different schools with, everybody talked about this guy. He's going to explode one day, and he did. But he didn't kill anybody, thank God. But the dude did flip out, and they got him part. And, I mean, he shot, like, he unloaded gun, reloaded. It was like 20-something holes he put through the house. And the one that he didn't bust out, he wrote, "Helter Skelter, you will die in hell." On it. I mean, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, creepy. Yeah. Yeah. So to your point, Stacey, and you've said this before, is why, you know, maybe there has to be some kind of a list, but here's the problem. You know, if it's what the problem is people putting people's names on lists because they're struggling with a mental problem, and then they get help. What happens when they get help? They get treated, they're fine. You know, that's that whole stigmatism. How is the person a good person but just a little off? That's the problem.
I am so glad you brought that up. There's one other thing. Please let me say this. Okay, people that are the kids that have ADHD or whatever you call it and everything, mm-hmm. give them Ritalin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it slows the kid down and speeding like crazy. Blah, 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 blah. Ritalin
right.
slows them down. Once they get to be 22, 25 years old, Ritalin is like a cocaine to a grown-up, and they keep giving it to them, and it speeds them up instead of slowing them down. I know for a fact myself. I know. I mean, drugs does not always work. I mean, there's something, it's not guns. People need to watch out for these people, and we could tell this guy when he was 16, 17 years old, there's something wrong. And
right.
something did come out.
Right, right. Well, your story is interesting, and I think people are starting to say that about some of the other shootings that we've had, and putting together pieces of it. And are we drugging the kids too much to the point that Stacey says about Ritalin and whatnot? In fact, we'll talk about that when we speak to our ATN head shrinker. I call her affectionately. Psychologist Judith Barr is going to join us on our next show. She lives in Connecticut, and she's talked to so many people about this and has for a long time come on the show and talked about children and what happens and where we go from here and looking for warning signs. Plus, coming up around the bend, Rhonda Martin, if you missed her, she talks about random acts of violence. And we talked to Rhonda right when the mass gunman opened fire in the crowded mall, if you remember, in Portland, and killed a couple of people. His gun jammed, or more people would have died there. We're kicking a can down the road. Hang with us.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Alley C. Why Alley C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Alley C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Alley C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Alley C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Alley C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Alley C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Alley C. For more information and to order Alley C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Alley C today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
What do you do when your propane runs out and you don't have a large amount of wood for cooking? That's when you need a Grover Rocket Stove from StockStorage.com. The Grover Rocket Stove starts easily with any combustible material, like junk mail, small twigs, leaves, weeds, or dry sagebrush. Then just add a small amount of kindling wood and you'll be cooking entire meals in minutes. Grover Rocket Stoves are made right here in the USA and are built to last a lifetime using heavy-duty thick-gauge steel and are painted with high-temp paint to withstand heat. Go to StockStorage.com and see three great Grover Rocket Stoves, stainless steel, heavy duty, or our original Grover Rocket Stove for only $135. And get free shipping to the lower 48. For phone orders, call 801-361-6984 or go to StockStorage.com. That's 801-361-6984 or StockStorage.com. The original Grover Rocket Stove minimal wood use cooking stoves. Available exclusively from StockStorage.com.
Would it save you time to get the best quality water filters and the best quality storable foods from one company? You bet it would, and now you can at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Big Berkey Water Filter products and great-tasting, long-lasting, storable, wise foods are both now available on one website, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Wise foods, ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches and come with a 25-year shelf life. Big Berkey Water Filters are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. Combine Berkey Water Filters with Wise Foods for an unbeatable preparedness combination. Get free shipping on every order over $50. And GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, waterfilters.com. Or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-B-E-R-K-E-Y. Or go to BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com.
You've come to expect winter specials from Herbal Healer Academy, and we're not going to let you down. Battle through cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters. Antivirals like olive leaf extract capsules and elderberry power. Vitamin D3, 180 caps, only $9. Beta-glucans and an incredible immune system booster. Our own 4-herb tea capsules and Respa 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at herbalhealer.com. Also, exclusive homeopathic detoxes for lungs, kidneys, liver, whole body, and lymph are on sale. Herbal Healer Academy offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and save big now when you hit the winter specials at herbalhealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time since 1988. Celebrating 25 years in service to the natural healthcare industry.
Beyond, we're talking about the biggest buzz in the land. Sadly, Newtown, Connecticut, 855-266-5283. All kinds of angles, and naturally there would be with something that happened that was so horrific. People that were just too young to die. Most of them were kids. 20 kids were killed, as you know, and they've already started the funerals. All right, Dustin, you got a couple of quick minutes here. Say your piece, brother. We lost you last time around. What's up?
I'm doing pretty good. And yourself?
I'm good. What's up, man?
Well, what I think about the shooting is, okay, I think we should have security guards around the schools because it's just very sad that we have to lose young people this young and especially around Christmas.
I think it's very sad that we lost those kids. Like you said, around Christmas, it's just atrocious, absolutely. And to the security guard point, to any kind of a guard, I think that's exactly what right now should happen. Why school boards, Dustin, could easily afford to hire off-duty police officer, former cops, that kind of thing. And I think that's the perfect solution, at least for now. This is something that we could do right away and has happened already in other schools. Why not do it across the country and give everybody at least a little bit of peace of mind?
Yes, especially at Springford High School, that's located in Roseport, Pennsylvania. That's a big school.
Do you go to school there? Do you go to school there? But you did go to school there.
Yes.
Yes.
It's actually one of the biggest school in my area.
So there you go. So just like me, I went to Cherry Hill East in New Jersey. Dustin, thanks. We got to fly. Dustin says security guard. So he went to a big Pennsylvania school, probably not too far from where I went to school, Cherry Hill East. But we didn't have a guard. We didn't have a guard at that time. And I said there was a lot of entrances, a lot of ways to get into the and exits, a lot of ways to get into the school. Luckily, we didn't have problems. We did have bomb threats a lot. There were a lot of bomb threats that were called in. Sally in Washington, hello.
Hi, Kate. This is Sally.
Hey, Sal.
And, this is so awful, but I just want people to know that you cannot blame an inanimate object like a gun. For those who haven't ever heard me, I lost a son in Afghanistan. I do not blame the IED that blew up my son. I don't blame an inanimate object. It has to do with the motive of a person's heart. When you go to court, you don't blame inanimate objects. You try to get to the motive of why a person does something. If they want to do evil, they will find a way to do evil. And I truly believe to solve this problem, every principal in America, because, you know, we have a Second Amendment right to have guns, should have, just like the pilots in a planes now have guns in the cockpit, and there was controversy against that. I truly believe principals should have a gun in that they can get their hands on, like the principal rushed the young man, but just think if she could have known to pull the fire alarm right away to alert the fire department and taken a gun, she might have been able to save some lives. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's what I think could be an effective thing is every school principal should have a locked gun for such things like this. And I don't know what else to say. I just hurt so
well,
bad.
Yeah, I feel so bad, too. I can hear it in your voice, Sal. Thanks for the comments. You know that I agree that somebody on the campus, if they're armed, I like the idea of the guard, the former cop, that kind of thing, because I feel as though they would be very comfortable around their weapons, know the weapons. Some principals may have a gun, might own a gun, might feel as though they know how to use their weapon, but if you forced that on a principal who wasn't comfortable with it and they were a great principal, that could lead to a lot of problems. And I think in education, and as they would grapple with this, they would have problems with it too as well. So maybe the first step, the easiest step, the best step is the one that Dustin agrees with and that I think is the idea of the security guard, the off-duty cop, somebody who's really, really trained and comfortable around the gun, knows how to use it, knows what to look for, too, because that's what you're trained to do. Former detectives, they know what to look for, what to see. Everything's calm and peaceful, and then in an instant, the world changes at a school campus when somebody tries to do something, tries to get into the school and do something to the kids, which, by the way, doesn't always have to be a gun to what Sally was saying with the object. It could be something else. It could be explosives or some other thing that somebody tries. All right, I keep promising that we will go to the mailbag, so without further ado, let's check the mail.
You have mail, mistress.
This one from Scooter from Vermont says, "Hey, Katie Kate and America Tonight. Got to tell you, this stuff with Newtown, Connecticut, as much as we all want to avoid it, in one sense, let's call it what it is. The kid had serious mental problems. His mother was aware. She was struggling with it. It was probably very, very difficult for her. The problem is the weapons should have been locked up. They should not have been able to be in his presence or where he could get them. And here she took him and target shooting. If there were problems, why as a mother would you even have any weapons around him for fear that he might try to kill himself? So that's the question we have to look at. We have to look at unbalanced people and how they get guns. Thank you. Keep on rocking it. So the The thing is now what some people are saying is she had a lot of weapons. She had assault rifles, handguns, all that kind of stuff. The weapons were for self-defense is what her sister-in-law is saying. And her sister-in-law is saying that she never felt threatened because if she did, she would have said something about it, that she was a person who would have said something. She grew up on a farm in New Hampshire, was very comfortable around weapons, and she felt as though she knew how to handle them, knew how to have them at her home. But I guess she didn't make the connection to her son, but we don't know that. I mean, her son was struggling. She told people that. He obviously was not a person who was happy, social, out there because he was living with her. He wasn't going to school somewhere. He wasn't on his own in an apartment. That was obvious that she was trying to help him, and it could have been that she had some horrible things that she was dealing with, and on the outside, she was friendly and happy, and that was kind of her escape valve, but we don't know that for sure. We're not sure about that, and that's what they're trying to piece together at this point, get a portrait of who this kid was. All right, here's one from The Chief. I love these nicknames. Ever since I started talking about nicknames, a lot of people are sending me emails with nicknames. Chief. All right, The Chief says, Kate, here's one thing that very few people have talked about when it comes to Newtown, Connecticut. Did you realize that for all of these conversations about gun control, that area was an area where a lot of people had weapons and used weapons to kill deer, for deer hunting, rifles, going out to target practice. It's a very, very popular area for shooting of all sorts. So it's not an area where they were concerned or worried about gun control. They weren't focused on that there. And it's a shame what happened. The warning signs, I think, were missed with Lanza. That's really what people need to look at. And they also need to realize that this is a town that had a tradition, it had a culture, as some people might say, of guns. People collected guns. People used guns, talked about guns. And it wasn't unusual. Yeah, but, you know, here's the thing. So what does that mean? It's not unusual. It's not unusual to have guns, but what happens when you have someone in your family who's not balanced and they get a hold of guns and they decide that they're going to go out in a blaze of their own glory in their head, or I don't know if he thought he was getting glory, but he wanted to either get revenge, make a name for himself, take out other innocent lives, had a connection to the school because he went there, blamed the school. We don't know unless this starts to come out in emails, if they can go through his emails, if they can find things that tell us more about Lanza. And talking with family members who didn't think he was capable of this, and they were around him for holidays and other things. So what is it about this 20-year-old that led him to shoot and kill his mother, who taught him how to use guns, and then killed 20 kids and 6 adults at the elementary school where he went when he was young? And it was not out of the ordinary to see him using guns at a target spot, because a lot of folks in that town are saying that. That, hey, listen, this is what we do here, and he's part of the community, and he feels comfortable doing it, and he's out there doing it with his mother. So she wasn't thinking that there was some kind of a problem here. In the town of Newtown, they tried to curb what they're calling a lax attitude toward gun use, but gun control opponents said no way. There started to be a little bit of push-pull in Newtown, and then this happens. Oh, my. Have you ever ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what Pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Attention, this is an announcement for our listeners who drive gasoline vehicles. Federal Consumer Protection has confirmed that there is now an automotive accessory that exceeds its own fuel-saving claims. Consumer Protection has confirmed that most gasoline vehicles will get 22% more miles per gallon with an accessory called Platinum 22. To find out if Platinum 22 will give your vehicle 22% more miles per gallon, you should call 1-800-LESS-GAS. You heard me correctly. 1-800-LESS-GAS. You heard me. Federal Consumer Protection has confirmed that the Platinum 22 accessory will deliver 22% more miles per gallon to most gasoline vehicles. You should pick up the phone and call 1-800-LESS-GAS to find out if it will help your vehicle. That's 1-800-LESS-GAS. 1-800-LESS-GAS. 22% more miles per gallon. 1-800-LESS-GAS.
Do you owe the IRS money that you can't pay? Are tax liens and levies ruining your life? Are you tired of being afraid just to go to the mailbox? If this describes you, then Dan Pilla can help.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax problems for more than 30 years. In fact, I wrote the book that made it possible to negotiate settlements with the IRS, and I've helped thousands of people do exactly that. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. New changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever before eliminate their debts once and for all. There's no need for you to suffer another day with IRS debt. Call 800-346-6829. I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Marco drops the throw, fires the out pattern, intercepted on the far sideline, and going all the way down the Broncos sideline is Chris Harris. Only Joe Flacco can catch him, and he will not get there as Chris Harris takes the ball all the way for a touchdown.
Flacco looks, sails it in zone.
What a catch! Touchdown, Tony Gonzalez, and a right-hand dunk. Wow!
I don't know, Arch. Laser, rope, take your pick.
Jones wide to the left side. They've got a wing set up on the right, offset eye in the backfield from the six. First and goal. Rodgers throws the left side back to him.
Oh my goodness! What a beautiful, precise throw to the left corner of the end zone for the touchdown to James Jones, his third.
Takes the snap out of the shotgun. Blitz coming now. He has lots of time. Now breaks down, overthrowing. No, it's picked off Earl Thomas. Going the other way. Across midfield, still moving. 40, coming back. 35, coming to the left side. Fitzpatrick misses and down the near sideline. Earl looks like he could go 10. Five, what a run back.
McAfee will punt, standing at the Indianapolis 15-yard line. Keyshawn Martin awaits at the Houston 24. McAfee gets the snap on target. Raymond blocks it. It's loose inside the 10. Raymond picks it up at the 5. Raymond to the goal line. Touchdown, Houston! Brian Raymond for 6.
Rams crowd the line of scrimmage. It's Peterson up the middle. Has a gate before across the 20. 25. Race, and they're not going to get him. Bye-bye to Adrian Peterson. That's an 82-yard Minnesota Vikings are back on top.
Here comes a big blitz on Kaepernick. He's throwing, seeing extra people, throws low to the far side, caught, break it away, Crabtree, far side, 20, 10, 5, touchdown 49ers,
yeah.
Crabtree!
Can Mark Sanchez bail himself out of a four interception night and win the game? He's in the shotgun at the 25. Low snap, lost the football, it's on the ground, who's got it? A low snap, and the Jets turn it over!
The Jets lost that one, a Monday night bomb of a game. Tennessee 14, Jets
ugly,
10.
Ugly football.
It was. It was hard to even watch it. It was just pathetic, really. Mark Sanchez is, they just got to dump him. It's just not working out. They got to part company. See you, Sanchez. It's time to hit the road. But one of the best games of the weekend, and I watched this whole thing all the way through, the Dallas Cowboys, which I'm not a big fan of the Cowboys, but I'm a big fan of the way they played this game. This was entertaining. This is a game they've been waiting for. Dallas beat Pittsburgh 27-24 as a final in overtime. Pittsburgh had won the coin toss. They were trying to move down the field. They cough up the ball, and it was really exciting. It was good football. It was fun to watch it. Oakland blew out KC. Their woes are legendary. It's been a very rough year for them and for a lot of reasons now. And then, you know, you see a couple more of these crazy blowouts, like Seattle 50, Buffalo 17. What has happened to Buffalo? They thought they had some high hopes heading into the season, but no, hardly. Not a lot of high hopes for them. So some people are clinching. Some teams are clinching, like Green Bay in the north. And others are treading water, just trying to stay alive or battle it out for some sort of a wild card spot. It's down to that time of year where we're getting to the nitty-gritty, meaning you're either in, you're out, and you're looking for tee times. And I think some are looking for tee times already, knowing there's no way they're going to be able to hang in there. So it's over the Jets. This was it. They would have picked up their seventh win. Instead, they're 6-8. Tennessee in that Monday night win picks up their fifth. Maybe that contributed to it. It's like Philadelphia. What a pathetic season for them. Cincinnati trounced them on Thursday night, last Thursday night. And Cincinnati 34, Philly 13. But Philly, 4-10. And how about Denver? What a story that is for Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning basically dumped by the Colts. He was emotional about leaving the Colts, the team he had played for since he jumped into the league, and now he has Denver at 11-3. They just made it a non-game against the Ravens. 34-17 was the final score, and Manning had another solid, solid game. He's going to be very, very tough. Atlanta wipes out the Giants, which makes it more interesting for the game I was talking about, the Cowboys, because they're still in it. They're not out of it. And Washington picks up a big win over Cleveland, so that makes things a little more interesting there. The Minnesota Vikings did what they had to do. They pick up their eighth win. Our big Viking fan, Mr. Johnson, if you haven't run off to get a soda, that was a must-win game for them.
And right now we're sitting in the 60 in the playoffs, but it all depends on what happens with your NFC East, because we don't really control our own destiny. We can still win the next two games and not get in the playoffs, so I can't remember all the scenarios that have to happen, but I think we really need Washington to lose and possibly the Giants, because I don't think there's a way we can beat Dallas. I don't know how it all goes down.
Yeah.
Playoff scenarios, it's like every week it changes, and then you have to, like,
I know.
Interconference opponents and all this. It's like, I don't know. You need a actuary degree to figure it out.
You're right, and I love it when they do it on the pregame shows. They start to talk about it, and they say, well, if this happens, then this will happen. And then by then you have no idea. It's like what they tell the players, don't pay attention to scenarios. Just go out and play.
Win.
Don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just win. Don't look at the scoreboard. Don't be, you know, sitting there on the bench saying to each other, "Oh, they just lost." Because then you just control your own destiny as much as you can.
The also intriguing thing about the Vikings right now is Adrian Peterson. He's getting awfully close to breaking Eric Dickerson's record for rushing yards in a season, and I think if you would ask me about 2 games ago, I would have said there's no way he could do it. And it's very possible right now, the way he's going and where he's been running the last couple weeks.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. You know, we've been talking about the NHL, Matt and I, because we're big fans of the hockey stick and the puck. And there's a chance the NHL and the players might be able to work out a deal, but I don't think it's a very good chance. So the thing is, if they do come back, if you do come back, how do you ever get fans to warm up to hockey again? It already was tough in some non-hockeyish areas where the fan interest had really waned. They're going to have on an incredible show to get people back. They're practically going to have to give away tickets, sell them for a dollar a night at the arena. If it comes back in time and they learn nothing from all the baseball woes, then they're going to have to lure the people back to the arenas. So the NHL fans, who are far and few between in some places, warm weather places especially, where they've been locked out. And they're the people that had the season tickets. I think it would be very tough to get people to want to come back, to hop on board after turning their back on the people. I guess they didn't learn anything about it. So a 48-game season, if they played a 48-game season, and how would they do this? And they'd have to change the seating a little bit differently, and they could do it, but I'm telling you, they're going to have performers or something. They're going to have lots of giveaways, lots of free parking, anything that's considered to be an advantage. So maybe the fans who are diehards who would come back anyway win with this lockout. They're the ones who will have, in a truncated season, they'll have the most luck with the tickets and with the deals on the side. So they're probably the ones that are feeling the best about, frankly, about the NHL, because I don't see any great silver linings in this other than completely killing the sport that some people embraced from their birth and others could care less about, don't understand, even when they highlight the puck to try to help people wrap their brains more around
the worst idea ever.
The flaring red puck that flew around the ice.
That was on Fox. That was so dumb.
Yeah, I thought it was dumb, too. Here's the thing. You have to go to a hockey game. Once you go and you see it and you're in the middle of it, I think it you really catch on to what hockey's about. It's not hard to follow. It's fun. It's a fun sport, but I'm not the ambassador of the NHL. I'm just disappointed that it's gone away.
Beckham now knocked it halfway to the ice, cross-checks him a couple of times. Well, call something, for God's sake.
That's exactly right.
I mean, he's looking right at it. He hit Hamblin twice, and they call absolutely nothing.
George Washington said, "Government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force, like fire. It is a dangerous servant and a fearful master." America's government is no longer the servant of the people and the protector of our liberty, but has become that fearful master. We the people must understand the nature of this government gone awry if we are to be successful in saving our country. America is being deliberately destroyed by a cabal of international gangsters so that she can be forced into subjugation to a one-world government. The God-given, unalienable rights of the Declaration of Independence are in jeopardy. We must not let them be stolen by ambitious and evil men. Utopia Silver Supplements believes it is our God-given right to make our own health care decisions however we deem best. If we can help you with your supplement needs and better health, then help us win this health freedom battle. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. Again, 888-213-4338.